All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's been a while. It feels good to say that and see the crew again as... For the first time in the new year, we're all back together.
Welcome back.
What up, Joel?
Good to be back, fellas. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It gets to a point where vacation gets old, right? And you want to get back to work.
For me, it did.
It did?
Yeah.
I didn't miss you guys not one single moment.
Now, I didn't listen this last week. The week before, when I was in the car, I was texting Nick off and on because I would have it not programmed if I was leaving the gym or running errands. I got so tied up with, let me tell you something. I did more work on vacation than I do here. It
really?
Was like a nonstop honey-do list of things that had to get done, we need to get done, or her mom was coming to town. I was like, man, I'm going to be glad to breathe again, go back to work.
Have an excuse to be like, yeah, I can't do that today. I got to prep.
Yes.
I do that to my wife. She'll be like, hey, could you vacuum? I'm like, no, babe, I got to prep. There's a bunch of crazy stuff going on in the sports world. Like what? And then I just got to make up a bunch of crap. I'm like, well, the Texans went out and got Joe Montana. And, Jordan's making a comeback, but in slow pitch softball, it's just a mess.
The Rocket signed Mean Gerald Green, yeah. And he's doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night, Taylor was in the high chair, and she's got her iPad. So I'm good, but I got to watch the Rockets
How
game.
Old is she?
She's two and a half, almost two and a half.
Two and a half, they're using iPads?
Oh, my God. Like, not just
wow.
using it.
Showing
like,
you how to use
browse.
It.
She'll browse. She knows the skip the ad button.
Really?
This kid oh with my her goodness. iPad.
So she's so more.
She's good,
she's
right?
further than you are on the
no
iPad.
No question. Yeah, probably. In some ways, yeah. So she's good. So she's safe in the chair, and she's watching it. And I had been sitting there with her, but the game started again, so I'm watching the game. Her mom comes in, makes. I felt like I was the worst person on the planet. She's over there by herself. Watching the iPad
yeah.
with no one around her. And I'm just going, Lisa, are you going to speak up and say that she does that on a regular basis? Because no, that wasn't. And I was like, well, I was working. I mean, I got to go back to work tomorrow. And I got to watch what happens this in this game. Rockets game. It is the Warriors. So I was there, but then I had to go.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's one of those things where I listen. Actually, I called. I don't know if you were listening, but one of the shows, I prank called them. Just to have some fun, but I didn't even listen, to be honest with you. For me, after the year that we had and how much I had worked with the 6 days yeah. a week and all that, once I got a break, which, by the way, shout out to AJ Hoffman. I heard him talking mess to people that take vacation at the end of the year. I don't care.
No,
I don't care. I get the vacation. You know, I work 6 days a week. Well, I mean, plus for us, we had a brand new show.
Yeah,
no reason for us to take off in the middle of the summer nope. when we're just trying to get the momentum. But yeah. anyways, I completely just no sports. I didn't watch
I
much
was with
sports.
You.
I didn't watch much football. I didn't watch any basketball. I was just like I did nothing. Really.
I watched what I wanted to watch. But yeah. I didn't feel like I was forced to watch everything that I knew
beautiful.
We were going to talk about.
Right.
Which was fantastic.
I loved it. Netflix and video games and just...
Plus, after the first week,
Pornhub.
I felt so bad for Nick.
I wore out Pornhub.
2 weeks ago, I felt so bad for Nick.
Why?
Because when I did listen...
I always feel bad for Nick. But...
I was like, oh my God, Nick is in a living hell trying to manage these guys on the air.
Who?
Oh, just name... First of all, Craig was supposed to come in and bring stability, and Craig was all over the map, but he was okay. But oh my goodness... With JT and those guys.
Oh, Cam and JT.
I missed that. That didn't go good?
And then they start going, well, Joel looks like the kind of guy that wants to read books. I'm like, man, mother.
They were taking shots at you
yeah,
and you weren't here on your show?
And they're filling in on our show.
Yeah, JT was. It was tongue in cheek.
He was trying to be funny?
I mean, I enjoyed the show. I don't remember exactly the context of the conversation, but I do remember him taking like a little
jab.
Yeah. I was like, Nick, please. I'm texting Nick going, man, these guys, they're sitting in our show and they're that comfortable?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on that. Cause I'm not one that last night I got up in my feels for the first time in a long time. I got sensitive. Raheel was messing with me on Twitter.
I did think I'm glad you admitted
and
to
it
that.
Hurt my feelings.
I was like, damn, Barry, you're getting a little sensitive on
yeah.
Twitter.
Feelings hurt?
Yeah, I even apologized to him because he's like, bro, I deleted. I didn't want to. I was like, dude, don't worry about it. I think I'm about to start. Like, I got real sensitive. I don't know why I got, I just saw it and immediately I got sensitive. And I was like, that's not like me either. I don't, no, I mean, dude, not. After 3 days with Jerome, maybe that's why. Cause I was just like, I can't take it.
Well, yeah, I was like getting warnings from people when you come back, be aware, because after what Jerome did to Barry or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell happened when I was gone?
We had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And I mean, I think most people know I don't take too much too serious. Right.
He just got picked on for being Boom Boom for a good portion of the show yesterday.
It was nothing.
It was basically what it was.
But it was so weird that it just triggered me. And I was just like, oh, I got real sensitive for like 5 seconds. And then I was like, I regretted sending it like a minute after I said, I was like, what the, that doesn't even, like, I really don't care that much. Cause he was like, hey man, I'm sorry. I was like, I can't even go back and say, honestly, I really do not care that much. Cause then it sounds fake. Then it sounds like you're like, oh, but it was just, it was weird. So yeah, I got up in my feels last night. And
well, I know they were going at you about the ref.
Oh, well, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, I heard you had a couple of Twitter skirmishes.
I had fun.
It was the Rockets-Boston game. It had to be after that game.
I had a blast after the Boston game because I was honest. And you guys know
this. You wore out
your caps
lock, huh?
Else, I was honest. So I was saying why the breakdowns happened, where people should be upset, what these things were happening. And I said, please don't blame the officials. And then you have local media members who, look, Kelly's not in the room anymore. He's here. But Kelly was one of our interns. Kelly's a great dude.
Is he, though?
But Kelly, I mean, he wears bad sweatpants. But at the same time, Kelly's a Rockets fan as well as someone that covers a team. But he can be objective. There are people in the media that have a credential, and they owe it to the fans to at least be honest about what's going on. But when they start, like, blaming the officials and pointing the fingers and saying that's the cause of why they lost games and stuff like that, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. That's a weak-ass excuse for someone that doesn't want to really delve in or know the game well enough to get into it. And people started to unload.
Who was saying that?
There were several in the media.
Local media?
Local media that were actually blaming the officials.
Okay, but let me ask you this. I'm not trying to play devil's advocate, but if you're watching, if you're a neutral, if you're watching the game, let's say you're watching, you know, Cavs-Celtics, and there's those kind of calls. And you're just objective. You might be a Houston media guy. It's one of us. And you're watching that game. You might be like, oh, the officials screwed them on there. That's okay, though, right? Because
absolutely. Like, but so
you're just saying don't do it when it's local because then you look like a homer.
And at the same time, it's not why they lost the, you know, it's not the only reason why they lost the game. You know, like in that game, you had a 26-point lead. And no one And no one was going back and referencing all the different breakdowns they had to lose 26 points, a 26-point advantage.
Right.
But all they wanted to focus on was what happened to James at the end. And I was trying to concentrate on what got you to that point instead of that. You know, because
there was a terrible third quarter by Harden. Not only was he not scoring, but he was turning the ball over.
No question. But then I get a guy that sends me a DM. He sends a message, but he puts it on my Twitter page that says that I'm just a bitter this, that, and the other thing because I'm not with the Rockets anymore and blah, 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 blah. And I DM'd him and I go, bro, would you like to do this in public where I embarrass the hell out of you? Or do you want me to do it right here, right now? And he's like, are you actually DMing me? And I go, you're damn right I am because you're on my page trying to look like a tough guy. I'm gonna put it all out there in a minute.
So he didn't think you would respond, huh?
Right. And then he was like, well, and then he didn't know what to say. I was like, okay, because the next time I'm going to put your Twitter handle out there, and then I'm going to expose you like a streaker in the middle of a Wisconsin winter.
I'm going to Alex Bregman you.
Yes, absolutely. That's what that was, for the most part. That one was one of them. It was
look
about
at you. Like, that's why you were so preoccupied.
But then I got into one because of you guys.
What?
Because and it's a Barry. I immediately thought of Barry. Someone thought I was hosting the show the other day. So I'm out there on Lisa's birthday on Wednesday talking about how she's more beautiful inside than out and all these other things. And this guy sends a tweet to me that says, bro, you better redefine what you think fine is and really get your figures, your facts straight. Otherwise,
they confused
it's
you.
A great body butter face.
It's probably directed at Barry or
and
Jerome.
I go, bro, are you talking about my wife right now and my tweet? I was like, because I'm going to let you clarify before I go absolutely off the rails.
Freaking awesome. The timing of that could not have been better.
And he goes, perfect.
Well, I was listening to you yesterday on the air, and I go, bro, I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. And he's like, oh, my bad. I didn't. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, now I sound like Jerome?
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, you two do sound white.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny because we were actually, I mean, the comment. Did you have to go back and listen? Like, what the hell were they talking about?
He finally told me, and I was like, well, I need.
Yeah, we were just talking about the definition of the word fine. Does it mean just the body or the whole package? And, oh, that's beautiful. I wish I could have seen that. That's super funny.
Yeah, but then he's like, I love the show. I listen to you guys every day. I would never do that. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, dude, I'm just clarifying I went off.
Here's the thing. So, and I don't mind it, and I don't think you do either because you'll clap back. But I think sometimes people think that we're above responding to a negative tweet, and we're people too. I mean, we're just dudes. We're just dudes.
Yeah.
With a Twitter account that happened to talk into a microphone, and sometimes people will say something nasty like to me, and I'll respond. I'll be like, oh, I was just kidding. I didn't think you'd. I was like, yeah, I mean.
Well, but the other thing that they don't realize is you and I, unlike a lot of people, aren't afraid to clap back.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people think that they can take that quick shot and everybody, they're just going to take it. We don't always take it. And you know I'm the worst at that. So we're just getting started. Good to be back in the saddle with the boys. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line, call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, and hopefully you will be too, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
Let me say this. Let me say this. I've been thinking about this, too. Father's Day is the worst holiday in the world. I've done the research. I already know. Let me tell you something. Mother's Day is the second most celebrated holiday in the world. Christmas is first. So that means it's Jesus, then your mama. You know what Father's Day fall at? Number 20. I can't think of 18 other holidays. Do you realize Halloween is number 6? Does that mean ghosts and goblins go before fathers?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. One thing that I forgot to mention, Oklahoma lost. God, that was great. For one reason and one reason only. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I missed you, OU Mike. We're back. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, as the band is back together. The Usual Suspects, before it even became the show name, was how I used to coin the phrase of us. So it's good to be back. And we were talking, just catching up a little bit.
Who's the comedian for this week, by the way?
Ali Sadiq. That's, right, that's who you heard coming back from the break. Ali Sadiq, Houston's own Ali Sadiq.
Is he really from Houston?
He's blowing up nationally. He's been a national act for a while, but now he's getting the attention that he should have been getting a long time ago. This dude is, you talk about guys that just have it, that just do it. This is one of those guys, man. And he's got a Comedy Central special that's come out. He's done This Is Not Happening. A lot of you might have seen that one where he talked about Mexicans have on boots. Was the bit that he did. If you haven't seen that, you need to go Google that or just YouTube it. Just look for Ali Sadiq, Mexicans Have on Boots, This Is Not Happening. It's so funny. But yeah, Ali Sadiq, Houston's own. Blow it up nationally, so check him out.
I knew the name right away and his work. I just didn't know he was from here. That's cool.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
So an FEF Friday includes funny, and that's where you get Ali Sadiq in the mix for today. News of the day, by the way, John Gruden, 10 years, 100 mil from the Raiders.
Silly money.
Ridiculous. Now, they were talking about ownership stake in the team, too. Do you really need it if you got 100 mil?
I don't. Yeah. That right there, though. I mean, I wanted to look up the highest paid NFL coaches. Is there a list? Because, let's see. Oh, here you go. So, this is from, who are the highest paid NFL coaches? This is November of 2017. Top 10. Bill O'Brien making $5 million in 2017. Record of 29-24. Well, Jay Gruden making $5 million, McCarthy making $6 million, Bruce Arians was making $6 million, mm-hmm. Garrett making $6 million a year, Tomlin making about $7 million in 2017. Belichick making 7.5 this past year, Peyton at 8, and Pete Carroll making 8+. So he's eclipsing all of them by $2 million a year, which is 25% above like Pete Carroll.
But let me say this. Every coach in the NFL right now just slapped him on the back and said thank you.
Yeah.
Because this is what Phil Jackson did to the NBA. When Phil came back and got the 10 mil a year deal, when all the other coaches were hovering around half of that, they all, instead of being bitter, they all just said thank you because they knew that the bar was now raised and set to when their deals came up, if they were getting their business done, they were going to get paid.
Yeah. I don't know if it was in. I don't know if it was warranted. That's the problem. I don't care if people are getting a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But how he won one Super Bowl with a team that was basically built and handed to him from Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he won it against the team that he had built in the Raiders, but that Raiders team never did anything of consequence. I mean, they lost it, I think, an AFC championship and then lost it a divisional round. Raiders.
Yeah, but he got that Raiders team to where it was. Then he left and they played the Buccaneers, which he was coaching.
And he beat
the Super Bowl.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right, yeah. So he built both teams. He built the Raiders team that made it to the Super Bowl that he won using a team that was built for him by Tony Dungy. And then he did nothing after that in Tampa. Nothing. Now, you know, so you can give him some credit for what happened with the Raiders, but I don't know that he deserves a ton of hoopla over what he did in Tampa.
Agreed.
I don't know that Gruden is a great coach. I don't know that. I mean, I think he might be a really good coach.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it fair to compare him going to the Raiders and what you're saying there to Herm Edwards going to Arizona State? There's so much time that's passed, and you're taking a guy out of the television booth, and you're putting him in a position where you're expected to win, to put together a staff, to come in right away and have it all organized and ready to go. It's a long time to be, even if you're just in the booth, that's still a long time away to be from the grind to where when you come back, especially at $10 million a year, you got to have your staff in place. These guys all got to know what they're doing. You're going to be responsible for so much. Herms was even worse because he was a pro coach the whole time. Hadn't been anywhere
except
for San Jose State in 1989 was his last gig.
Yeah.
But it just seems like when you're in the booth or on TV that long, yeah, you know what? People like you because of the commentary, but there's a whole lot more than commentary when you're dealing with everyday life in the NFL or college.
I would think the transition from the field to the booth is a lot easier than the booth to the field.
Right.
Now, having done it, I don't, you know, it's probably going to be like riding a bike or a horse or whatever. You get back on there and you catch on to it pretty quickly. But I don't know if rust is a, you know, like when you talk MMA, if a guy has a 2 or 3 year layoff, he's got ring rust or boxing or same. But he studies the game. I don't feel like he ever stopped studying the game. So he understands the modern game too by calling them. I think that there just might be some nuance that he's going to have to pick up on. But he'll have a good enough staff, I would think, that can help him transition.
Cincinnati's defensive coordinator has already resigned in Cincinnati so that he can be Gruden's defensive coordinator. Okay. So he was starting to put his staff together. I just wonder, you know, how in touch he was with rule changes and, you know, the idiosyncrasies of an offense where it's, you know, so much more wide open now. He had Brad Johnson as a quarterback, so he wasn't exactly running a spread. When he last coached. So, yeah, that's another thing to me. It's just to figure out, because they've already said David Carr might not be a huge fan. I mean, not David Carr. Derek Carr might not be a huge fan of this.
Oh, really?
So we'll see how that plays out. Is a guy like Marshawn Lynch going to be back when Gruden is my way or the highway type guy, and you know Marshawn does his own thing?
Well, don't they? When do they go to Vegas? Is it next year?
I think they have one more in.
So they're one more.
I think they're one more in Oakland before they go.
Okay, I would imagine that Lynch, once they move to Vegas, because his thing was
hometown.
It's my hometown. Yeah. I want to play here, and I think once they go to Vegas, he'll probably, that would be my guess, anyways, is that he'll call it. So I don't know that, you know, just get through a year, but that would be interesting to see Derek Carr. Of all the jobs that were available, I really liked that Oakland job. I really thought that might have been the best job. You had the most talent. You had the most ready to win team.
I felt bad for Jack Del Rio. Last year he was 12-4.
Yeah.
A year removed from 12-4. You're gone?
I said it yesterday. He's a victim of circumstances. And Jerome and Barry were both saying he's probably going to get another gig, but we were talking about most attractive gigs. I said Oakland, but it's kind of a foregone conclusion that Gruden was going to be the guy. Now it's official, or at least according to Adam Schefter. I mean, you went from a 7-win season to a 12-win season. That was because you had Derek Carr, and then you had one bad season. You would think that 12-win season would give you a little bit of a leash. But
if Bill
because
O'Brien
Mark
got
Davis
a leash
has love
here
affair,
because of all the injuries and everything like that, you would assume that Del Rio should get at least another year leash because of the fact that when everybody was healthy, they were 12-4.
Yeah, Mark Davis loves him some Gruden.
The crazy thing is, and I've always said this about coaching and even players, but I understand it a bit more when it comes to players, but all of a sudden a coach just forgot how to coach. So the 12-4 team that Jack Del Rio coached,
right,
a year or two later, he all of a sudden doesn't know how to do that. Hey, guess what? Sometimes players don't perform well. Sometimes the players that you had on that team are gone and you've replaced them with players that aren't as good. And I've always felt that part of coaching and the rap that they get sometimes sucks. But it's also why you see coaches recycled so much, is because like, oh, this guy can coach. He went 12-4. So yep. There's a team that the Browns look at the seasons that Jack Del Rio had and probably think, wow, we would love to have that. Hell, they would love to have 4 wins when
no
you go 0-16.
And the thing is, I mean, what do we call that? We call that being palilloed when you bring in the enamored big time name, and then everybody just kind of gets out of the way of, oh, Charlie's going to be coming on next. So speaking of the man and the myth and the legend, Charlie's going to join us next as he normally does on Mondays and Fridays. It is an FEF Friday, so anything goes. Charlie will be on 1:30 to 2 as we catch up with him. That should be fun. We can continue to talk about the coaching changes and things going on in the NFL. Talk about the Rockets and a tough loss last night and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Speaking of usual suspects, Nicholas, we should put an APB out on one Charles Palillo. I don't know if he's coming in or not, or if he forgot.
I guess. Should we be like extremely upset that he didn't tell us?
I'm not butthurt right now, I can tell you that. I'm just being honest.
He didn't wait a second. I was just trying to set him up, but it didn't take a second.
Right? You could have at least pretended.
Right now I'm feeling all right about it.
He might stroll in here any minute. You know.
It's 1:30 or it's not at all.
That's it?
Door's locked.
And you know what? It's 1:31 right now, so it's not at all.
It's over for Palillo.
That's it. It was his big break.
Oh, you know where he is? Where? It just hit me.
Oh, the meeting.
He's in the all-team meeting.
Yeah, they always tend to have the Gal Media
right during
corporate
the
meetings
program. Yep. Why did they even send us the email if we're not going to be
exactly? Exactly. Sometimes they're like 1 o'clock. Sometimes it's 3 o'clock. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not upset.
But then they're mad
lie.
When we don't respond to things that were brought up in the meeting.
Like, did you ever do your evaluation?
I did.
I did.
I did, and I actually reminded
totally
Nick.
Forgot.
Nick and I were basically reminding each other until we both got them done.
Oh, seriously. Well, appreciate it, guys.
Well, you're on vacation.
I didn't do one. Totally forgot. I just remembered last night at like midnight. I was like, oh. But, we'll see.
They're not clamoring for your self-evaluation, I don't
probably
think.
Not. I don't think that anyone really cares, to be honest with you.
They know you're falsifying
greatness.
I wrote
greatness. A lot, because to be honest with you, if I'm the guy reading the self-evaluation, that's a lot of reading. Like, I don't want to read that. I wrote a lot.
Did you really?
I was talking crap about you.
You wrote a novel?
Joel. Oh.
Wait, you mentioned us in your self-evaluation?
Yeah. Things that, you know, the company could do better.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Ah! I see what you did there. Uh-huh. I like it.
Well
okay.
played. Well
now,
played.
I'm glad to know that I haven't done mine yet.
Oh, dang it.
Self-evaluation. Yeah, myself would like a new producer.
I'll have to go and tell him that there's a second revision yes. coming to mind.
Oh, I sent you the draft. I need to send you the final.
That was my first self-evaluation because, honestly, I didn't know how to approach it.
Did you just say how awesome you were?
No, I really didn't.
Really?
It was really brief. I mean,
you screwed up. I can tell you from years and
like
years in corporate America.
You inflated.
I mean, I worked for the Big H. You know what that is?
No.
Halliburton. Okay. For years. And I can tell you right now.
I was like, Hitler?
H-E-B?
Where's he going?
Hanson? I don't think Hanson would be the big H. Yeah, but that's... And I work for Cisco Foods. And in both instances, those are, you know, really big companies, and they would make us do, you would turn in an evaluation, yeah, and then you would sit down with your boss, yep, and they would do an evaluation.
Do we have to do that?
That's usually why they have you fill them out.
That's what worried me too, because I thought one of the great things of working for a smaller company coming from the NBA is that we don't have to go through all that paperwork and BS and meetings. But just like Barry said, oh my God, then they want to do them every 6 months. It used to be once a year, but then it was, you do yourself a val.
Well,
then your supervisor avows you.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. You when you fill it out, you have to fill it out like it's a dating profile.
Yeah.
You have to. That's what I was trying to tell you. When you fill these out, you want to act like you're signing up for Tinder. Like, you talk about yourself, and then they're like, well, you should say all of the good qualities, and then they say, well, what can you improve on? You should just be like, oh, you know, I want to be better at not caring so much about this wonderful organization. You've got to treat it like a dating profile.
Really?
Don't ever
you sound even like a man of experience.
Well, he's absolutely right. Really? Because like I said, you evaluate you in corporate America, then your supervisor evaluates you, then you sit down together and go over your two evaluations to come up with a single evaluation from the supervisor to the superiors that be for your raises, for everything, and it is...
Now, we never did it twice a year.
I feel really crappy about my self-evaluation right now.
Yeah, you should.
I probably should have never emailed it.
But
I can't ask for it back because I emailed it.
Like, if you said my shortcomings are that I like husky Latino women.
I left that out of there.
They would exploit the hell out of that.
No.
They would go back at you like five times on that, because now they got something that will prevent them from having to give you a full raise.
Not that they don't know, but I did not include that into the
you want to make sure when you do, and this is almost a PSA, anytime you're doing a self-evaluation, you should be the most positive, yep, person about what you do, because otherwise it's going to backfire on you.
And you should literally blow yourself up. Like,
I'm glad you added that up.
I knew you were going to go that route.
Like,
but
wait,
seriously,
a minute.
You should make yourself sound like the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then let them figure it out.
All right.
Because a lot of times, what I found is the managers don't know. I mean, here they do because we're such a small
company. That's actually what I was going to ask you next. At the
big
H,
they do.
Do they? But at the big H, there's so many employees. They're going to really go through all those evaluations.
They do. They do. But they don't. I mean, it's not scrutinized. There, it's just a formality to get your raise. They have to have something to justify giving you a raise or not giving you a raise, as the case may be. So if you've been an a-hole all year, you've been a terrible employee, when it comes down, that's the one they're going to focus on. Everybody else is just getting, it's just a formality so that, okay. But when you've got that one guy that's always late or doesn't show up or his work sucks or he cost you a multi-million dollar account or whatever happened, he ruined a $7 million project, which we actually had a guy do that and get fired.
Wow.
On that evaluation, what they do is, well, you ruined a $7 million project. You didn't mention that. So that's why what Joel was saying, the manager does his part and... Yeah, dude, it's a formality thing. You know, it's not one of those things where you want to be honest and look at it as a time to reflect.
Do you see what I'm talking about with being Polillo'd?
Wow,
he didn't even shut the door. He comes in 6 minutes late. He's making all kinds of noise, and he's got a smirk on his face like, yeah, that's right, I'm Charlie. That's what I do. Well, happy new year to you too, Charles.
Did you check your texts?
Huh? Yeah.
I'm on the air, bro. I don't have time to be interrupted.
Let me see.
Multitasking.
Oh, let me see if I got your text, Charlie.
You haven't given me your number.
Oh, you didn't text me.
You haven't given me your number.
At least I was right.
You didn't
ask
for
meeting.
My number, Charlie Polillo. No, you did not, sir.
So the speaker at the moment I was hoping to leave was kind of an important speaker.
The owner.
So I said that Barry and Joel said to wrap this up. It's dragging on enough already. He'd like to see you both at 3 o'clock.
So obviously, your New Year's resolution wasn't, I'm not going to run anybody over with my bus anymore. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
My goal is for John Gruden to adopt me.
What did I miss? What did we miss in the meeting? What was it about? Was it good? Was it anything exciting?
It was recorded.
Oh, good.
You're
so I can
kidding.
Go back and listen to it?
You're kidding. It wasn't recorded. It
well,
was,
not
you
video.
Could call in. You could call in and listen to it, but it wasn't recorded.
What do you think your final hour is today?
Yeah, there you go.
Are we blowing up? I mean, I feel like we're in 2018 is our year, right?
You sure that isn't the owner can just have his own radio show. Nick, what's it called?
He does. Is it still called Happy Hour with Carla?
No, with him and Carla, it's something and the...
Oh, so they changed the name. I don't know the new name.
Yeah. It's like the britches and the stitches or something like that, but it's along those lines, but it's something to do with her being pretty and him being the boss. But yeah, I filled in for him once. So if he really wanted, he wouldn't tape record that. He'd just come in and sit down in the chair. I'm David Gao, and I'm taking over today. Okay, Chief.
Well, he wasn't the only speaker.
Yeah, there's plenty
but
more.
But why are you sitting
on
it?
He
then?
Was the keynote speaker.
Okay.
How was your New Year's? Did you do anything exciting? Do you go out? Do you party? Did you, meet a woman, have relations?
Break it down. I was awake for the New Year to actually arrive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Easter time.
No.
I made
really?
It past midnight.
Okay.
Look, I'm not a professional partier, but I think a New Year's Eve is amateur hour.
Really?
And frankly, there's the idiot factor on the road.
So you never go do New Year's stuff somewhere.
I'm not in a hotel ballroom for it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I'm not a big go out and party on New Year's kind of guy. I stay home, kiss the wife.
A few friends
I usually have to wake my wife up because she's already in bed by 10:30. So I wake her up for New Year's, give her a kiss, and then I watch Chappelle's show. So I don't go out and do you party,
no,
Joel?
No, like I've said this on the show before. The three biggest money-making farces in America are anything to do with real estate, weddings, and funerals.
Real estate is a farce.
Oh, my God. They throw so many things in real estate when you're buying or selling a house into the deal and little extra charges and things to do this and things to do that and inspectors that you have to come in to do this. It's just free money for a lot of people. But New Year's is one of those deals, too, where you overpay in – hyperinflated prices if you want to go to a hotel or even a bar these days. The cover charge is ridiculous because they give you a hat, a streamer, a little noisemaker, and some really bad champagne.
Well, the money you could save with your family, extended family, if just as a group you agreed to celebrate Christmas as it applies December 18th. But the airfares right around the holidays, in the spirit of the season, they screw us.
Yes.
Hotel rooms, the same thing.
No question about it.
In fact, the first Christmas I ever didn't make it home, it was because the Oilers lost a game to the Giants to blow a bye week they basically had wrapped up like 3 weeks earlier. It's impossible. Even the Oilers can't blow this. Mistake number one. So I booked my non-refundable flight, and I'm going, and because I was doing Oiler pregame and postgame and stuff like that. And so they messed the bed. So on the one hand, I have this non-refundable airfare I have to eat, and then I have to tell little old mom I won't be home for Christmas this year.
Ooh,
ruined
it. So we rescheduled for like the last weekend of January whenever it worked, and they kept the tree up, and we went. And
nice.
The flight was one-third the cost, and
airlines
dinner reservations were no problem.
Airlines are the king. They want you to believe that they're not really intentionally screwdriving you, but I'll tell you what. Any flight going to Wisconsin on the weekend of a Packers home game, you will pay $200 to $300 more. Yeah. They watch those kind of things.
Right.
But then, like today, with all this, it's a nor'easter, but they've got that crazy name for it now.
$4. You can fly to Milwaukee today for $4.
You're probably right. But here's the thing. On the East Coast, they're saying this is an act of God. So if you're stuck, your flight's delayed or canceled, and you're stuck in an airport, you're also stuck with the bill for your hotel because it's an act of God. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That Tom Hanks movie where he lived in an airport for a while. Right?
What was that? What was the name of that? I'm going to look it up. I'm going to Googles it.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. We're going to take a break because now that Charlie's here, the rest of the day, the terminal can go on as planned.
Yes. Thank goodness. Better late than never, right,
some
Charlie?
Some people's time is money, and it's more valuable than our time and money.
You look at me as you say that.
I do. So are you going to allow me to go to break, or do you have another read that you have to get through?
I am a pawn. Take it up with the king.
Oh, this is crazy. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Charlie for one more segment and continue to roll on with hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. We call the big show The Usual Suspects. Back with a whole lot more, ESPN 97.5.
All right, minute here for RoofMD and General Contracting. Now that all the holidays and hullabaloo has subsided, How about taking care of yourself, specifically your roof? If you're a homeowner, it should be inspected annually, especially since you can have that knocked out for free. Mark Donaldson, the MD in Roof MD in General Contracting. Always comps inspections. If you're in good shape, great. If it turns out you need work, well, you have an entirely Houston-based company. Mark, a lifelong Houstonian, ready to do solid work. On the contracting side of things, window replacement, drywall repair, gutters, fencing, painting, and more. But start with the no strings attached free roof inspection. And if you need work, well, they offer financing zero down 12 and 18 months or low interest, low monthly payment plans. 832-967-ROOF. Be polite. Just say, give me the free roof inspection, please. 832-967-ROOF. Roof MD and General Contracting. Happy New Year from Mark and Company. Mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5.
And that's us, ESPN 97.5, back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere in just mere minutes. It is the flagship that we all respect and love, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
First hour on an FEF Friday means that during the 1:30 to 2 o'clock portion of the program, Charles Palillo joins us as a person of interest with The Usual Suspects. He was late today. He doesn't have any respect for our time. But instead of saying not now, we're going to make sure that we make him a vital part of the final segment of hour number one. Nick said we were allowed to do that, so we're going to. That's just the way things go around here. So without further ado, Charlie, everybody safe back home with the... It's not what Mike Trout is obsessed with. It. It's not a nor'easter. It's a something bomb.
A cyclone something or other.
Yeah, and his wife told him he and his wife got into a Twitter battle.
What's wrong with blizzard or
he wouldn't
snowstorm?
Get off the fact that he was infatuated with this term for the snowstorm on the East Coast, and she basically told him to stop doing it.
Snowicane.
I'll look it up.
No,
it's
bomb cyclone or something.
Yeah, bomb cyclone, something like that.
I don't get it. Blizzard seems to always have worked well.
In
and
the north,
tasty Dairy Queen treat.
In the north and in the east, winter is going to happen.
I'm trying. Maybe get a free snack out of it. Sorry, Joel. Continue.
No, winter's going to happen.
Yes.
It's just in. That's why you live there. You should already know.
Yeah, that hit in Arizona.
Yeah.
But a couple, three times per year, you expect to get a snow dumping and you move on. But so they got a foot where I grew up. And okay, you shovel it out. Or kids in the neighborhood, $20, they'll shovel it out and... On you go. You got a snow day out of it.
Right.
A work snow day. That's
everybody back home. Everybody here is bitching about the snow last week and then the cold temperature. It's freezing. It's 29. It was one back home.
Yeah.
I'm used to this.
Lucky for the NFL, though, tomorrow and Sunday, all of the games are not.
Unlucky for the NFL.
In that
they
area.
Love those.
No.
They like terrible weather that games. Makes they usually spike the ratings.
It makes for horrible football,
I agree
though.
With that.
But the Indianapolis-Buffalo game this year, everybody had a blast watching.
Right. So then lucky for
remember
NFL fans.
Ball?
Yeah.
Part, you remember it for the blizzard and playing.
But lucky Oakland for fans, the football will be better, right?
I mean,
at Kansas City, at Los Angeles, at Jacksonville, and at New Orleans, those are all pretty safe bets to not be as bad as if it were at Philly outside or at New York Giants outside or something like that.
So. One, no postseason buzz because no Texans. Barely, but no Texans for the first time in 3 years. And, I mean, none of them are forecast as wipeouts, but the spread in all of them is at least six. I mean, there's not one game
right.
close to a pick 'em. So I will pose this to the class. If exactly one road team is going to pull off the upset this weekend, who are you taking?
I'm taking Atlanta.
I think it's between Atlanta and Carolina.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, I think they have chances to both be just absolute wipeouts.
Yep.
And LeSean McCoy's ankle is not right.
He,
how's
and
Buffalo
he's their whole
10
team.
Points
yeah.
at Jacksonville?
I'm with you, and I'm only going for two reasons that I would go Atlanta. One, because they had the Super Bowl run last year with that experience.
It's a double pedigree game. The Rams, really? The
yeah.
Rams?
And but
the
also
Falcons were mm-hmm. just there last year.
But also how good New Orleans is playing, how good they play at home. They're a complete team defensively, offensively. So I think that they now it is difficult to beat a team three times in a row, and that's what they would take for them to beat Carolina.
So I've always
again.
Thought that's overrated. If you're Do good you? Enough to beat them the first two times, maybe you're just a lot better than them.
Or maybe they make the right adjustments the third time.
Well, and here's the biggest thing to what you were saying earlier, which comes into play, which is Buffalo is all about LeSean McCoy. Whereas there are enough weapons on both Carolina and Atlanta to be able to say that they should not only be in the game, but you could see them. It wouldn't be anybody's huge surprise if they were in the game and they could win the game.
You could get good Cam.
Yeah.
He breaks off a 60-yard run.
You could get Atlanta on turf early in the season. You know, I always said, and Barry and I have said this throughout the year, you put Atlanta on AstroTurf, they're a completely different team than they are on grass, which doesn't bode well for them playing in the Coliseum. But they have a lot of talent with those two running backs, with the receivers that they have, and with a former MVP at quarterback. That's a lot more than Buffalo has. So they got a shot. Cam, if you like you said, if you get good Cam and you've got a running game and you've got their defense, you got a shot. That's all you can ask for at this point in the season. So we'll see. But, I mean, that would be my easy answer, too, would be those two teams.
The spreads, according to ESPN, on each of the matchup pages for these two teams, the Chiefs by 8.5, the Rams by 6, Jags by 8.5, and the Saints by 7.
I mean, there's always the backdoor element that makes it gambling, but I think Kansas City's refound itself. Tennessee was not very good against anybody, really, the second half of the season. I think the Chiefs are at least 10 points better.
But you need Derrick Henry because DeMarco Murray's out, and you rely heavily on a ground-and-pound game with Tennessee just to try and eat up clock and keep it kind of a grind game. If Derrick Henry isn't ready to tote the load and is in perfectly good health, you're in trouble.
I just see no reason to have faith in Marcus Mariota on the road in his first playoff game.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. He's been inconsistent at best for most of the year. So
I mean, he lost 57-14 here. I know that was young Deshaun Texans season, but nevertheless.
Now, speaking of them, because we're just catching up and I've been out for 2 weeks, but your thoughts on the whole Texans debacle right now, what's going on over there, and now all of a sudden Bill O'Brien is worthy of a extension?
If he gets a multi-year extension, credit to Bill O'Brien and his representation, but I feel like we should have a fundraising drive to buy Bob McNair an additional O for his first name.
It's fantastic. I mean, my thoughts exactly. In Green Bay, I understand the whole thing these days where you don't want a lame duck coach, and they feel like if they got 1 year left, they
Which
don't
I
have
think
an extension.
Is BS. I mean, it's not a substitute teacher. If you're a lame duck coach and they're throwing spitballs at you the whole season, you know what? You're not commanding enough to be a head coach anyway.
But my point being, Mike McCarthy, way more wins, way more playoff wins, and they gave him one extra year so he doesn't have a lame duck season. But yet Bill O'Brien's sitting on what should be a multi-year, big-time, long-term extension.
Right.
For what?
Right. Well, McCarthy signed his extension within the season,
right.
So you wonder if it had not been signed. The general manager, out. Offensive coordinator, although that's really McCarthy,
really.
But Edgar Bennett fired. Dom Capers, defensive coordinator, fired. Three or four other coaches on the staff, fired. Here, Bill O'Brien has his worst year by far. Yes, the Watson injury and other circumstances, but you are what your record says you are. He's 31-33. He just went 4-12. It's McNair's money. I know you can't take it all with you. But to me, if he's a lame duck coach and players take advantage of him, you have the wrong guy anyway. If O'Brien has a big year and, oh, he has the leverage now to command a big fat extension, well, good for him and good for your franchise. And if he bolts, you had a chance to take care of me a year ago. Well, so what? He'd have had one really good year. And if that's where your franchise is, to me, that will be much more about Deshaun Watson than it would have been about Bill O'Brien. And you will have an attractive, coveted job open if O'Brien was to walk on you a year from now because you didn't cave to him and give him an additional 4 years, $30 million, and let him help pick his own general manager, as it sounds like it's going
to
happen.
And, you know, to me, it seems it would be weird to give a guy a multi-year extension in a following a year he just went 4-12,
right.
Regardless of the circumstances. Now, I ask you both this. if he is 6-2 through eight games, are you prepared to give him the extension at that point? Is there a point in the middle of the season?
It wouldn't strike me as absurd, at least.
Because then
point.
He's redeemed himself. He showed, hey, look, I can win again, and everybody's healthy. And because I said in the article I wrote for Sports Map and Houston Sports and stuff, I said you've got to give him a year, but his playoffs are bust for me. And I think at that point you can give him an extension, maybe a year. That way, if he does tank, let's say he starts 6-2 and ends up going 2-6 the rest of the way, even if you give him a year or two extra, it's not going to cost you as much if you need to let him go.
The most I can comprehend is not ridiculous is what you laid out, that I don't think it's necessary, this whole lame duck thing. But okay, if you subscribe to that and you want to add 1 year to the deal so that next year, if they remain mediocre under Bill O'Brien, then you're firing him and you're paying him off for only one more year. But what has he done to deserve a multi-year extension?
It was mind-boggling to me. I'm going, why? And like you said, kudos to the agent if Bob McNair or somebody over there really believes, hey, the Giants would have snapped him up in 2 seconds if he got out on the open market, and he was going to have so many opportunities if they put him on the open market.
Indy
that
too.
You better lock him up. Come on, man.
Well, there was rumors that Indy was really interested.
Yeah, but that shouldn't push you. You should either be, hey, this is our coach, and I can see giving him at least another year or keep sticking with him, or I don't care what anybody wants. Sometimes it's just about, as Mike McCarthy, the fit. And if there's no fit, then maybe he fits somewhere else better.
Hard to believe they don't have three or four of those Lombardi trophies in the case over there, isn't it?
Yes. No. Not even close. Well, it's good to have you again. Thanks for coming in late, but
it
making
was
up
brief,
for it.
But passionate.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Charlie. Like many of the rendezvous, I'm sure, in
like,
the earlier
just describe
years.
Describe my sex life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, so 1 hour in the books, 2 hours still to go with the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual
Not
suspects.
Now.
Right here.
Forever.
On ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.